I come to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. And good morning. There are some people who seem to have a calming influence on those around them. Some people who, by their very presence, still the anxiety of others. Now, this past week, Father Robert and Jonathan and I went to New York City so that we could explore the city, see lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of beautiful, beautiful churches, and eat lots of good food.
Pizza.
I had the best Chinese food I've ever had. It was amazing. But one of the things that I noticed, and probably something that people notice whenever you're in a big city, is that as you travel through the city, as you walk, what you experience is just sort of almost an overwhelming sense of anxiety, of hustle and bustle. There are people trying to get to work. There are people who are trying to get back home from work. There are people who you see that are experiencing all manner of mental, physical, and emotional issues. There's a lot of stress that happens in a big city. But I also saw something that was really inspiring to me. Oftentimes, you would see people who had stepped aside into a park or a cafe to just meet with friends, to just be with people and experience a sense of calm in a sea of what may seem like anxiety. A person who had a very calming presence for me and is one of my mentors, and as I look across this congregation, I see people who have been mentors to me throughout my life, and I'm really, really pleased and honored to be in a place where our young people get to experience mentors amongst them in church as well. So I'm very thankful for that. But one of my mentors was one of my seminary professors. Her name is Mother Julia Gatta, and she taught pastoral theology at the University of the South in Sewanee. You might imagine with about 100 students, along with their families and faculty who come from all around our country and the world, that are all living and working and studying close to one another. And any situation like that could lead to various levels of tension, and it did, and anxiety, and it did. Now, this was certainly the case for me in my class, who went to seminary between the years of 2019 and 2022. So I'm sure it was stressful for everyone. It certainly was in seminary. But from the very first class that I had with Mother Gatta, I felt her calming presence. And whenever I saw her, whatever tension I may have been carrying felt like it was just a little bit less. And I know that many of my classmates felt the same way. You could think more clearly and almost feel waves of calm flowing out of her whenever she was around. And I pray for all of you, especially our younger folks, that you'll have such a person in your lives at some point. And if any group in the history of humanity needed a calming influence, it was certainly the group of Jesus' followers huddled behind locked doors in the evening of that first Easter. 3 days earlier, they had scattered in panic as their leader was arrested by the authorities. The following day, he had been executed, and all the hopes that they had placed in him seemed to have died with him. Now, their fear was that they would be next. So they hid together, terrified of what the future might bring. And then suddenly there he was. Jesus was present with them, standing among them. Now, this was not an apparition or simple spiritual presence. This was the same man who had been killed only 3 days before. The same man, down to the nail holes in his hands and the spear hole in his side. Jesus was with them, and he gave them a gift. "Peace be with you," he said. Peace. And this is the peace that passes understanding. The deep knowledge in the core of their beings that, as Julian of Norwich said centuries later, all will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. Peace that passes understanding, but peace that does not deny the reality of pain and suffering. Pain and suffering, even loss and death, are a very real part of life. And certainly when we look at what became of those 11, we cannot deny the reality of suffering and death. James was put to the sword by Herod Agrippa. And tradition says that Peter was crucified in Rome and Andrew in Achaia. Simon and Jude were killed in Persia, and Bartholomew was flayed alive. Pain and suffering and death are real. They are inescapable, and particularly for those who would follow Christ. But the peace of Christ recognizes that pain and suffering and death are not the final word. The final victory over death and the grave has been won. The power of death has been vanquished. And thus, life in God through Christ is ultimately one of love and not one of tragedy. Such is the peace that their Lord brought them that day. Such was the peace that they experienced in his presence. He brought them peace. And then he gave them a command. And then a second gift. And the command goes like this: as the Father sent me, so I send you. The gift of peace was not given to them so that they could spend the remainder of their lives resting comfortably there in their own peaceable kingdom, unconcerned about the world outside. The gift of peace was given to them so that they could re-enter the world, the same world from which they had been hiding behind locked doors. They were sent into the world to carry the message of God's love and the promise of reconciliation made possible by Jesus. And the second gift was this. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The gift is the Spirit of God, of Christ himself. It was wonderful and calming to learn from and just be around my mentor, Mother Gata. And eventually we would graduate. We would be sent out into the world, left only with memories of her calming presence. Because Mother Gata, just like any of us, can't be with us all the time. She has more students to teach and to be a great example of grace and calm for. But Jesus, in giving his followers the gift of the Spirit, Jesus gave them the gift of his continuing, everlasting presence and the peace that is found in that continuing, everlasting presence. Never again were those followers to be cut off from the presence of Jesus. Never again would they lose the peace found only in Christ. We can see the power of the gifts given by Jesus that day in the reading that we heard moments ago, wonderfully read, by the way, in the Acts of the Apostles. These same apostles who had huddled fearfully behind locked doors now teach openly in the temple. Even after being arrested by the very same authorities they had been hiding from, they return to their teaching. When challenged, they're able to declare, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Friends, such is the power of the peace that Jesus gave to those disciples the evening of that first Easter. And also, friends, such is the power of the peace that he offers to us today. The gifts that he gave to them, he gives to us. Peace and joy through his presence with us. The command that he gave to his disciples, he also gives to us today. After the gifts, we are given a commission. We will be told to go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. So let us respond with a renewed, a transformed sense of peace and joy. Let us respond with all of our hearts, our minds, our strengths, and our souls, saying, "Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen."